Lord, that I may see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a story told of a young boy whose older brother was in a car crash. The father approached the younger son shortly after the accident and said, "Son, if you will, your older brother needs a blood transfusion in order to live. The doctors have determined that only you can provide this blood. Will you do this for your brother that he may live?" The younger son did not hesitate in answering that he would indeed help his older brother. Unknown to the little boy, donating blood is a relatively simple and safe procedure. The car ride to the hospital was unusually quiet for this normally very talkative little boy. As the father and son sat in the hospital room, the nurse entered with needle in hand, and she commented how courageous the young boy was as she prepared the boy's arm to draw the little blood needed for his brother. After the vial was filled, the nurse checked to make sure the little boy was doing fine and told him that he was free to go, again commenting how brave he was. As he left the hospital, the young boy, with tears in his eyes, turned to his father and asked, "Daddy, how long do I have now before I die?" Today, our Lord announces in startling detail the passion and death he will undergo, in which he will shed all of his blood for us so that we can live. But the 12 apostles, his closest friends, don't understand what he is talking about. Though it seems clear to us, they weren't able to understand this because, as St. Luke says, they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them, and they understood none of the things that were said. It seems that St. Luke could have got the point across by just saying the meaning was hidden from them. And Father Chicata would say, if I was St. Luke's editor, I would have said, just one of those is sufficient, pick one and drop the other two. But I suppose that St. Luke really wanted to make it clear that they didn't understand what our Lord was talking about. Poor apostles, it seems that happened a lot to them, but it works out well for us because if they had understood everything that our Lord said, we would be left without explanation for some of the things that our Lord taught. In any event, to overcome the cluelessness of the apostles about what our Lord was really telling them as they were walking to Jericho, our Lord performs a miracle by healing the blind man. Our Lord lets him see. By this, he showed that he has the power to cure physical blindness and therefore can cure spiritual blindness too, if we have faith in him like this man in the gospel did. The apostles didn't see that the Son of God would have to suffer and die to redeem mankind. We see it clearly now, in 2,000 years after the fact, but if we had been there, we would have been just as lost as the apostles. The ideas of suffering for another, charity towards even your enemies, these were new things for those living at that time. The idea that the great Messiah, whom they had been expecting for 4,000 years, would be defeated in the eyes of the world and die a shameful death was unthinkable. Over time, the Jews worked up this idea that the Messiah would be some sort of macho man who would ride into Jerusalem on a flaming donkey, perhaps, and single-handedly overthrow the Roman rulers. All this talk from our Lord, who was clearly fulfilling all the other aspects of the Messiah, about suffering and death, was not understood even by his closest friends. That idea that suffering was something good and necessary was not common at the time when our Lord was preaching in Jerusalem. They knew all about sacrifice, but the fact that they should be offering up their own sufferings was not something that was talked about very much. It is clear that suffering comes from God because it is something that we do not choose ourselves. But God only gives us what is best for us. St. Paul says that to them that love God, all things work together unto the good. All things that happen, happen with love and by the order and permission of God, who has always loved us and loves us more than we love ourselves. God sees the big picture, which we cannot see. This is clear from the gospel today. When we are suffering from something, we should remember that our Lord spent his whole life in distress to spare us from eternal distress. This same Lord who died for us is the one who is sending this suffering to you to help you. He comes to you in Holy Communion for the same purpose, so that he can assist you by uniting himself to you. Lent is almost upon us, and it is a powerful reminder to us every year of the purpose, value, and merit of suffering and sacrifice. Remember that the Lenten fast binds those from the years 21 to 59 and permits one full meal per day, which can include meat, and two smaller meatless meals. Over the years, the Church has reduced the strictness of the fast so that we can focus more on pleasing God by our sacrifice, instead of thinking about what we're going to eat for our next meal. There are other things we can do in Lent, such as extra spiritual reading, more patience, making a stronger effort to practice charity. The epistle reminds us how important charity is. All of these can help us grow in merit, so if we can't see God's plan, at least we will be more ready to accept what he sends us. We, unlike the apostles, have the advantage of hindsight to put suffering in perspective. May your steady and faithful sacrifices this Lent give you the grace to see that, even in suffering, to them that love God, all things work together unto the good. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.